back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime as always, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well. We have a lot to talk about actually tonight.
We do.
We have what? Three games that the Flyers played over the weekend, and then obviously they played last night against Calgary. Last night a special night with the Hall of Fame induction for the Flyers team itself for Paul Holmgren and Rick Tocchet. We also went to the alumni game on Monday. So I mean, we got a jam-packed episode for everyone tonight.
We do indeed. And of course, we were both at the alumni game Monday night, as you just mentioned. I was in attendance at the game yesterday evening and was one of the few people who was in attendance for the Hall of Fame ceremony for Tocchet and Holmgren. I have thoughts on that, which we will get into.
You're coming off back-to-back. You might be a little bit sluggish tonight.
I know. I definitely need the rest. We were eating dinner earlier. Brenna made her homemade chili, which is delicious. And I'm sitting on the couch. I've got like the recliner up. And we're watching Guy's Grocery Games. And I'm like nodding off. And I'm like, I need to wake up. So
not to go off on a tangent right out of the bat here, but I mean, it's tough nowadays when it gets dark at like 5 o'clock.
It's the worst now
where it's like you're just constantly tired. Like, I don't even know. I mean, I'm not going to call it seasonal depression, but like seasonal affective disorder. Yeah, I think that's what it is. That's definitely real. Where it's like, damn, like you literally like you blink and it's dark out now. So it kind of sucks. But as you were, sir, go ahead.
So, you know, I pretty much just trying to wake myself up, but I am more than awake now because I do have thoughts. But briefly, before we get into kind of this past week, Matt, obviously after last week's podcast, the Flyers had some action, a 2-1 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes Friday night, which Carter Hart yet again was phenomenal in net and probably one of the best games I have ever seen him play in his young Flyers career. A huge dub over one of the best teams in the whole entire league. Then you go into the game against Dallas Saturday night, which I only really watched about the first period because I was at a Friendsgiving event and was absolutely in one as per the Snapchats that you saw, Mastro. But a 5-2 loss to the hand of the Dallas Stars. And even from what I watched and saw in the highlights, Jones didn't play bad, just the Flyers overall just can't seem to play the Dallas Stars very well.
I think quick stat, I don't think they've won in Dallas since 2014, I think was the stat. So that streak continues.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Yeah.
But then you have, of course, you've got last night's game, 2-1 overtime win against the Calgary Flames. And yet again, another excellent, excellent performance from Carter Hart. So before we kind of get into, I figure we can talk about these recent games, Matt, and then go into the alumni game here. Do you have any thoughts on the victory against the Hurricanes and the Dallas game from last Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I did watch a good chunk of the Friday night game. I agree with you in the fact that I think that was definitely one of Hart's best games he's had in his career so far. Especially against a team like Carolina, who I think was, 10-0-1 coming into that game? The Flyers, obviously, it looked a little scary at one point because the Hurricanes did score first, and then they scored another goal, but that was called offsides, so that goal was reversed. And the Flyers got two goals in the third. Got a little bit of puck luck on Zach McEwen's first goal as a Flyer when it was deflected from a shot from Justin Braun.
As you say, Mastro, love to see it.
True. I was going to say, I was at one of the a local bar down in Philadelphia, and the whole place was going nuts. Actually, it was funny. The one guy I was talking to, he had, like, he was pulling the old RA and hoping for puck line Jesus to strike. Because he had Flyers puck line, so I guess he had them to win 3-1. And, of course, he looked like he was miserable when they hit that post on the empty net near the end of the game. So that was, I was like, damn, I was like, I feel so bad for you, but hey, like, this is like their best game of the year so far. Like, they beat Carolina, like, cheer up, bro. Like, so, but that was really good. Yeah, that was a really good game. Dallas, I don't know. Dallas was, again, it's one of those things where, and we'll talk about it more when we go into, I guess, the last night's game. And just again, this past stretch here, the Flyers, their offense kind of not showing up, or at least sputtering in and out. But that's pretty much how it was on Saturday night, where, I mean, again, it's Flyers Stars is like such a weird matchup, because the Stars aren't like an elite team, I wouldn't say, but they're a good team. I think they've dropped off a bit since they went to the Cup final 2 years ago against Tampa Bay in the bubble. But, and I mean, holy hell, those Monster Energy jerseys they were wearing are aggressive, to say the least. Yeah. But, again, I don't think Jones played bad. I just think the team in front of him just didn't really show up for the most part, where there wasn't, like, a full 60-minute effort. And, as you said last week, Dave, there just wasn't any, like, run support for how well the goalie played. I mean, Jones had 26 saves, which isn't terrible, like, isn't bad, but the Flyers had 33 shots on goal, only got two in. So, I mean, I think it was like one of those things where when you come off a back-to-back, well, that's the back end of a back-to-back on Friday, Saturday night, and like I would have hoped that they would have brought more energy after beating a team like Carolina on Friday night, but those back-to-backs are always tough, especially on the road. So that's kind of one where I guess you really maybe sweep it under the carpet. But I guess the main thing about that too is he's re-injured now and considered week to week on the IR, but Ryan Ellis came back for a hot second in that Dallas game. And then we also saw the return of Kevin Hayes after he got abdominal surgery earlier this summer. And he was out for up until now. So that was his first game on Saturday. And I mean, it was good to have, again, it was good to have Ellis back for a hot minute, but he's out for longer term now. And we had a scare with Hayes last night too, but it seems like he's okay. So again, Dallas, it's not the end of the world to lose to a team like that, especially after beating a team like Carolina, who I think is going to be a lot more of a contender than Dallas. But that being said, do we want to talk about the alumni game and then the Calgary game, or Calgary then alumni?
We can talk about Calgary and then alumni. Right. But I do want to touch on Ryan Ellis returning from injury Saturday night.
Yes.
The fact that he then re-injured that same injury Saturday night makes me think that either he himself rushed himself back to return to the lineup, or the Flyers training staff did. And this is not the first time we have seen this happen over the course of our years of being Flyers fans. And I am now one of the people who is starting to question this training staff of the Philadelphia Flyers. Do you have our players' best health in mind for the success of this team? Because with Ellis re-injuring himself, it's clear to me that he was not ready to return to the lineup, and nor should have he.
Yeah.
Now that he re-injured himself, he's on LTIR, just like how Kevin Hayes was, and he needs to miss a minimum of 10 games or 30 days. Yeah. Again, let's hope he gets out of this, and when he does return to the lineup again next time, it's because he's fully healthy and actually ready to play. Mm-hmm. But it is concerning, because he was one of the big changes that we brought into this offseason. And the defense is, I mean, while they've been playing admirably in his absence, you cannot keep on throwing Nick Seeler and Keith Yandle out there as a D pairing. Cool. Yandle is what he is. He's great. And he's good on the offense. He's going to make some defensive lapses. He's been like that his entire career. And Nick Seeler, he's a good top four AHL defenseman, good number seven NHL guy. That's what he is. He's good in spurts, but he's not meant to be in your active lineup every night. And it makes me wonder, do the Flyers need to go out and bring in another elite right-handed defenseman? Mm-hmm. And to do that, you're going to have to make a significant trade because you are going to need to trade salary for salary, or you're going to need to involve a player with higher salary, like a JVR, to make that deal possible, because the Flyers think they're in made the steps to contending in. And while we're seeing Braun is playing great with Provorov on that top pairing, and you're finally seeing Risto and Sanheim come together as a pair where their last couple games have been awesome, I'm not very, very confident with Braun being with Provorov still. I just don't think that combination, it's been fine so far, but if this team wants to be considered a serious contender, I think they need to address that defense yet again if they cannot keep Ellis healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I also will say, like, I feel like it's almost one of those situations for now where it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Where true. I think Justin Braun...
The team is 8-4-2.
Yeah. And I mean, Justin Braun especially, I think, has stepped way the hell up from being in a third pairing role to a top pairing role with Ivan Provorov, because we've seen where as mature as Provorov has gotten over these past few years, he's still kind of... He still isn't that number one guy. So, I mean, I think he still needs a vet.
He's been playing like it this season so far, and so is Braun. I think Braun, yeah, I mean, you can say, arguably, Braun's been our best defenseman this year.
Hell, I don't want to open a can of worms here, but Ristolainen had an assist last night, and he's been playing pretty well.
And the analytics are even backing that up right now.
We're not going to get into that, like I said. But just watch. I mean, again, all I'll say is just watch the game, and you'll see. You don't need analytics for all this BS. But
we're not going to go into it. But for those who want to know, and probably do know, Flyers Twitter today was a absolute hot mess. It was analytics versus eye test World War III. It was something.
Yeah. All right. But moving on. I mean, again, I think it's one of those things where until we see another like clunker of a game where the defense is kind of like exposed for not having a Ryan Ellis type player, then I think I just say roll with it at this point.
Yeah, and they are going to get tested.
Yeah.
You know, their next five games are doozies. You've got tomorrow, as we record this evening, tomorrow, Thursday the 18th, you take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Then this Saturday, the 20th, you take on the Boston Bruins. Then next week, you have a back-to-back on the 23rd in Tampa against Tampa. And then you fly down to Miami, take on the Panthers on Thanksgiving Eve. And then you come home for Thanksgiving. And then on Black Friday, you play the Carolina Hurricanes at home. This might be the most important five-game stretch of the entire season. It is as of up to this point right now. Because you are going to get tested, because none of those teams are jokes. They are legitimate, legitimate cup contending teams. Even the Florida Panthers are.
Well, I mean, we know Tampa Bay is, obviously, because they're repeat champions.
Back
so.
To back.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Florida's, no one should be taken lightly here. And, I mean, they're, like you just said, they're all contending teams, with the exception of the Devils on the 28th. But... hell, that's one of those trap games, as they can call it, the Flyers, I think, are definitely better than the Devils, and they need to play like that when they face off in New Jersey against the Devils, because they don't, I mean, yeah, that's a trap game like it was against the Coyotes. Not saying I don't think the Devils are as bad as the Coyotes are, but...
and they're pretty close.
The Flyers should beat the Devils, that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, we do have this, as of right now, the Flyers are one of three teams to where they lose one game, they win the next.
Yeah.
The other two teams that have done it this year are the Carolina Hurricanes and the Edmonton Oilers. And the Flyers have beaten both of those teams this season. So that, right, I think that's a pretty good stat, the fact that if you lose one game, the next team you come out, you win right away. So I think losing streaks are frowned upon, are they not?
I mean, yeah, in any sport and in any aspect of life, they are. So losing streaks are no bueno, as they say.
As you said last week, three thumbs down.
Yeah.
But with that, we can move on to last night's victory, the 2-1 overtime win against the Calgary Flames. I do have some thoughts, but I don't want to hog the microphone. But all in all, just a great win. Yeah. It was for a low scoring game. It was very, very entertaining. And you had Matthew Tkachuk being an absolute pain in the ass.
Yes.
And I mean, I want him in orange and black so bad.
I was going to say, every time he did something that was borderline cheap, I was like, I really hate this guy, but he's the perfect type of player for the Flyers.
People loved in this city.
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, more importantly, you have Kevin Hayes. The Flyers go down 1-0 early after a not so great first period. They bounce back in the second, and Kevin Hayes scores his first goal of the year and then points to the ceiling in his goal celebration. And I've got goosebumps now talking about it.
Yeah.
Last night at the arena, it was you had a little bit of tears in your eyes. It was something that was awesome. Of course, the trainers and Atkinson grabbed him the puck, and he's going to give it to Bo, who is Jimmy's his brother's son.
Yep.
So that's an ultimate feel good. Of course, Carter Hart and Jacob Markstrom were phenomenal in that. It's 1-1 going into overtime. Then 40 seconds in, Kutz, who didn't have the best game during regulation, specifically shoots the puck where you know a rebound's going to pop off to Atkinson, who buries the rebound. Game over. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Wells Fargo erupts into the orange and black theme song, and everyone leaves happy. But Matt, before I go into my spiel about yesterday evening and the Hall of Fame event, what were your thoughts on the 2-1 overtime victory?
I liked it a lot. It was definitely a war of attrition for most of the game, but it was a great hockey game if you're a hockey fan. I mean,
old school hockey.
Yeah, the layman hockey fans, I think, would not really appreciate a 1-1 game for most of the game and then going into overtime. Whereas, I mean, the Flames scored their first goal halfway through the first period. Then there was no goal until the Flyers scored with like 4 minutes left, or what is it? I guess 16 minutes left in the second period. And then that was the only goal until the overtime winner from Cam Atkinson. So, the layman fan, I think, wouldn't have enjoyed that as well as we did. But I think the main thing to come out of that, besides Kevin Hayes, I mean, that was awesome seeing him score that goal and point up to the sky for Jimmy Scoops Broadway, as they call him on Missing Curfew. We have to talk about that later because I'm pretty excited about that. But what I was going to say, Carter Hart steals the show once again, as he should. Hoping that he's, knock on wood, he's got his groove back. He's definitely had it as of late, so hopefully that will keep up. And let's see, what else? Oh, I think it's good that Cam Atkinson also got on the board again, scoring that OT winner, because yep. He's cooled off a little bit. Not a little bit. He's cooled off a lot of it since he started the season pretty strong with a few goals and some points there. So I think it's good. Hopefully that's a good confidence builder for him going into these next few games. As we will, I'm sure, talk about, too, the power play worries me a lot. Flyers were 0-for-4 last night, but they were 2-for-2 on the penalty kill. So I guess it doesn't cancel out, but it also does, because they did have a 5-on-3 at one point, and they sucked, I guess. But, I mean, that's something where that's always kind of been a problem for them. So it's like, what else is new? The power play sucks. But I mean, that's a hell of a win. I was like, I've completely forgot that they were doing the alumni or the Hall of Fame celebration before the game. And I'm like I said last week, I think when I thought that the Maple Leafs game was 7:00, I turned the game on and it's still with Taron Hatcher and Scott Hartnell, and they're talking at the desk, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, is there something wrong? And then I was like, oh, they're doing the ceremony. So, But, I mean, back to the game, that's a great win. And, I mean, the Flyers split the season series with the Calgary Flames. They won't see them again until if, for some reason, they meet in the Stanley Cup final. But, yeah, good game. And, Dave, I know you have some thoughts about the alumni celebration, so I will throw it over to you for that. And then whatever's left, I will pick up the scraps with what I think as well.
I appreciate that. So I definitely have some thoughts. Last night's Hall of Fame ceremony for Paul Holmgren and Rick Tocchet, as advertised, you know, I'm sitting in my seat because I'm at the arena pretty early like I normally do because I am a rink rat, as they say. One of my favorite places to be. Any rink, doesn't matter where. But I'm sitting in my seat, and it's 6:30, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, this arena is pretty empty. Like, there's, like, no one here, like, at all. Like, this is very, very empty. Like, I would think less than 1,000 people throughout the whole Wells Fargo Center. But 6:30 hits, and Lou Nolan starts speaking away. Introducing all the family members and then Homer and Tocchet. All of a sudden, now there's an echo. Thanks, Skype. I keep looking around. I'm like, this isn't right. And I'm like, why is this arena empty? So I fire out some tweets and I'm like, you know, this kind of sucks. Like, where's the fan base? I'm like, years past, like, this would be a full barn for something like this, because Tocchet and Holmgren are pretty two beloved all-time Flyers for the most part. There are some haters, but for the most part, they're beloved by this city. And at first, I was like, you know, why are people showing up for this? And then I'm going, and then like the wheels start turning, and then I see a certain podcast and a certain beat writer who I'm not the biggest fan of, but I am actually coming around to, because now I'm starting to understand why the way they are, and it's starting to make sense. You know, that's Anthony Sanfilippo and Snow the Goalie. I'll just go out and say it. I'm actually starting to become a fan of theirs now, because it makes sense now after hearing their thoughts on last night's game.
No free ads.
So I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you know, like, why isn't anyone here? And then I realize the only reason why I knew that the ceremony was at 6:30 p.m. was because the Flyers posted that on their Facebook and Twitter, alerting fans attending the game to be there in your seat at 6:30 for the ceremony. It wasn't advertised on the ticket. It wasn't broadcasted anywhere on television and ads beforehand. Nothing. No advertisement whatsoever until hours before day of the game.
Yeah.
And you had to sit there and you had to watch two excellent speeches by Tocchet and Holmgren. And they spoke to an empty Wells Fargo Center. And at first, I was mad at the fans, but now I'm mad at the Flyers. Because that, what a disrespect to people you're supposed to be honoring. And my whole thought process changed during the game last night, because by the time end of warmups happened and the puck dropped for the game, the arena was essentially full. Like, it looked pretty close to a sellout last night. And I was like, something doesn't add up here at all. And then everything clicked. The Flyers didn't advertise at all. There was no marketing for this whatsoever. And that was a big thing about the alumni game as well. Apparently it wasn't on television. There was no advertisements about it online. It was the bare minimum. And I get they wanted people to go to the alumni game because it's for charity, so they wanted people to actually be there. But imagine if you had advertised for that. You could have had the whole arena full, because all the names that you had, as we're going to discuss, obviously, and that we have discussed, you could have sold out that barn for that alumni game without a doubt. especially for charity, because knowing the way the Flyers fans are. So last night, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I actually feel really bad for Tocchet and Homer, because they're both saying how, you know, that Philadelphia has the best fans in the world for all, every single major sport, and there's barely anyone in the building. And how is that going to look to other people when they see that? They're just thinking, oh, Philadelphia fans don't care anymore. They didn't show up. That's not the case at all. Yeah. This is on the Flyers. And this is more of the culture change that we have seen the Flyers become since Ed Snyder, rest in peace, passed away. They are no longer a family. This is no longer the organization that you had a fan running things, and he made sure things were done his way, and the fans, from players to everyone involved, gave a damn. The Flyers clearly are now a business, and they are going to do whatever the hell they want to do, and they do not care about their alumni. They don't care about the fan base. They just want to make money. They don't even care about winning. And that disrespect, that blatant disrespect that they put on Paul Holmgren and Rick Tocchet last night. How dare they? Like, really, how dare they? You're honoring people, and you don't even do the decency to make sure that the fans that would actually want to see those ceremonies were at the Wells Fargo Center in time. Because, again, it's 6:30 p.m. on a weeknight. It's going to be tough for a lot of fans to make, you know, if considering rush hour traffic. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but it exists, and it can be pretty bad, especially in Philadelphia. Oh, I don't know, on Interstate 76 and 9 and Interstate 95. And then you're worried that in years past, that the Flyers knew about this and would actually pay the NHL a fine so that when they had Hall of Fame nights, their game would be a later start time, but they made sure that fans were in the stands for the ceremony so that the players they were honoring or the people they were honoring had a chance to speak to them. And that wasn't done this year at all. And I truly feel bad for Tocchet and Homer, because Homer's, both their speeches were excellent, and Holmgren got emotional thanking the fans. And the fact that no one was there, and the Flyers didn't do anything to market for it or make sure that the fans would be in attendance, besides sending out a Facebook post and a tweet at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What the hell? You know, and I know the Flyers probably are never going to be sold because they are Comcast's pride and crowning jewel. But man, does this organization need a shakeup. There needs to be a, I'm trying to find the right word, because I'm actually really upset about this. Like, there needs to be that shakeup, that, like, you're never going to go back to the way things were, because that's not how the world works. But you hear Dave Scott talk about how, you know, there's still a family and the Ed Snyder tradition, blah, 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 blah. Then actually show it, because you're not. And the fan base and the ones who really care are seeing through the bullshit that you're spitting out. And it's pathetic. And the Flyers need to do better. It's just as plain as day. The Flyers disrespected the people they were honoring last night. And this is on the players. This is all on this is on the marketing team. This is on Dave Scott and Comcast. You know, it's all on them, the head honchos. And I don't think Chuck Fletcher would have anything to do with this, because he's the GM. That really isn't his area of expertise when it comes to him. He's focusing on the on-ice product. But this is people like Dave Scott, like Valerie Camillo, those people. They should be ashamed of themselves. And I don't want to keep on rambling, but I have witnessed other Flyers Hall of Fame events. I was there for the one when the Watson brothers got inducted. I was there for Eric Lindros and John LeClaire. I was there for Ron Hextall's induction. And the Flyers did it right. They pushed the game back. They paid the NHL a damn fine, which you know Comcast has the freaking money for. And they made sure that building was full because they knew the people they were honoring would appreciate that. And Paul Holmgren and Rick Tocchet had to talk to an empty arena last night, and that is all on Dave Scott and Comcast. They should be ashamed of themselves. And with that, thank you for coming to my weekly Flyers TED Talk. Mastro, you have the talking stick.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not much that can be said that's already been said. It definitely, for guys like Tocchet and Holmgren who are with the organization for, I mean, Holmgren for a lot longer than Tocchet, but both just pretty much epitomize what it means to be a Philadelphia Flyer. Their playing style, their dedication to the team, their knowledge of how passionate the fans are, ironically. But again, I don't think that's on the fans. That's definitely on the marketing department, where, like you said, you have such a big occasion for these two players, and you don't even market it anywhere. You release, what is it, before the season, you release the promotional schedule. And then they had the voting for who should get inducted in the Hall of Fame. And then they were like, hey, here's who's getting inducted. Here's when it's happening. And then it kind of was like radio silence until a week ago. And they were like, come for the Hall of Fame night. And then, like you said, just literally like yesterday morning / early afternoon, they tweeted out when people should be in their seats. And it's like, again, they don't realize that there's traffic. So people definitely can't get there at 6:30. Hell, some people don't even show up to the game until midway through the first period because A, they're lazy, or B, there's bad traffic. But that's for another time. But yeah, I mean, and I think it goes back to the alumni game too, on Monday, where it was tough. I think they, marketing-wise, I think they did pretty well with like trying to get people to buy tickets, but I mean, to not broadcast that game in any way, shape, or form is
not even a stream.
Yeah, is a huge mistake. Where, I mean, these are some of the best Flyers to ever play for the organization. Most of them, honestly, not every single one, because I mean, almost all of them were in attendance, but not everyone played. So you had enough to broadcast a game like that, at least stream it online, but to have the fans that can't make it or like just didn't want to go or something, I don't know, like at least give them the opportunity to put it on in the background while they're doing dishes or something so that they can at least hear like, oh, John LeClaire to Eric Lindros for a goal, or like Scotty Upton.
Jenny Breer to Simone Gagné.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, it was just pure nostalgia. It was great that we were there, but like, if we weren't there, I feel like I would have gotten major FOMO, where it was like,
yeah,
damn, like I couldn't go to this game, but I wanted to be there. And I had to literally watch it unfold over people's tweets on Twitter. Like, that's not fun at all. So I think, yeah, I mean, the organization, especially even if it was like for charity's sake, like do like a telethon type of thing during the broadcast, where it's like, hey, like if just keep flashing opportunities for donations, do something where it's like if you donate X amount of money, you get this, so on and so forth. Like you said, Comcast is legit Comcast and NBC Universal are, they're a legit, like, not monopoly, but they're in
powerhouse,
a massive conglomerate of media
powerhouse.
Yeah. And it's like to not even do this for your premier NHL, for your NHL franchise, which is like one of your premier cash cows for your entire company, is insane. Where it's like you can't even like tell your marketing department, hey, flood people's whatever screen they're looking at with these ads, or make sure there's butts in seats for this ceremony so that like Tocchet and Holmgren aren't thanking a nearly empty arena. Like, so that was just a massive drop of the ball on both those fronts there. And I mean, it just sucks because you just hope, I guess, we shouldn't be saying this about a bunch of adults that have professional jobs, but you hope that they learn from their mistakes. And hopefully they get it right the next time something like this comes around when someone else gets inducted into the Team Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I mean, just a brutal look for the organization itself. And, again, it's not on the players. It's not anyone that has to do with the players. Like you said, it's not on the coaches or Chuck Fletcher. This was all on the business side of things where it was lazy, I think, and they just seemed to not care.
Definitely. Words, again, well said, Matt. And it's just, it really gets me angry as a fan, because I know, and we know, how this team and organization used to do things, and they did it the right way. And now you're seeing them drift away from that. And it's like, but why? The way you used to do things worked. Yeah. And even if the team wasn't playing that well, it still got butts in seats. And fans still seemed like that they were important. And the Wells Fargo Center, no matter what the Flyers' record was still a very hard building for a visiting team to come into. And there's been times the past couple years where it hasn't been that.
Yeah.
And that all falls on, I mean, that partially falls on past GM regimes, Hextall.
And Holmgren.
And a little bit towards the end of Holmgren there. Yeah, you're right about that.
It's his own damn fault.
Yeah, but they need to do better.
Yeah.
And they know that this, because last night at first I was mad at the fans. And then I sat back and I realized, and I took a second, I'm like, no way is the Philadelphia fan base going to just desert a team like this. That's just not who they are. You know, we are not a wishy-washy sports town.
Yeah.
You know, the fans give a damn. And at Comcast, at Flyers ownership, at Dave Scott, at Valerie Camillo, do better, because your fan base is demanding that you do.
Yep.
But with that, we do have
we have some positives to talk about for alumni stuff.
I mean, we do. I mean, we're already at the 36-minute mark, and excuse me while I take a sip of water here.
It's all right. Stay hydrated.
Got to stay hydrated. As I say in Letterkenny, stay hydrated. But overall, the alumni game itself, Matt, that we were at, I had a ball.
It was awesome.
It was a great time. We saw play. They had players from every era of Flyers hockey present, and even some playing.
Yep.
And you got to witness, you know, Scotty Upshaw have a hat trick, Joffrey Lupo with a knee drop snipe, Eric Lindros with a dirty but good goal in the crease. You had Briere feeding Gagne for two goals. Like, everything that I could have thought in my head that I would have wanted to happen, happened to that alumni game.
Yeah.
And it was just a great time. Like, I don't have any more words else to describe it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was sweet. Props to you, Dave, for getting those unreal seats. 8 rows off the ice, pretty much at center ice, right behind Team Holmgren's bench. But I mean, yeah, it was a hell of a time, and just to see these guys that both of us grew up with in semi different eras, since you're a couple years older than I am. Not saying that you're old, but we're both getting old, because I feel old when I see guys that I was like, damn, I feel like they were just in the league a year ago, but it's been like almost 10 years since they've been in the NHL. So,
Matt, those were guys that you and I went to games together when you were in high school and I was early in college. We went together to go watch, and they were like in their primes of their career.
Yeah, I mean,
we saw them last night. We saw them 2 nights ago in an alumni game.
I don't want to see.
We're old.
I mean, I don't want to seem like stalkerish when I say this, but like, it was almost like seeing old friends, where it was like you were used to seeing these people, like you said, used to seeing these guys when we were in like high school and college and stuff like that, and then we don't see them for so long. It's like, not that we know them personally, but you feel like you don't miss a beat. Where like, you always talk about, like, we talk about it sometimes. I talk about it with my other friends. I'm sure you do too. But it's like about just these guys play, like. And I have my shtick on Twitter about how Gagne is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And I was like, yeah, I can't wait to see Gagne and the other alumni, like, because Gagne is my main man, as I always say. But, I mean, just seeing him and seeing all those other guys, like, seeing guys like Donald Brashear was pretty cool. Like, and some of those guys, again, like I was saying to you, Dave, a couple times, they're massive. Like, I mean, maybe they've put on a few beer belly pounds. I'm sure they have when they don't play in the NHL anymore, as anyone would, I'm sure. But, I mean, just I can't even – like, there's guys where I never got to see them play live when they were in the NHL, and to see them now is cool because, like, it just makes you wish even more that you had a time machine and you could go back in time and see these guys play in their prime, especially LeClaire and Lindros. I mean, just absolutely bodying people with Mikkel Renberg, the Legion of Doom, just tearing it up around the league. So it was cool to see just, again, like you said, pretty much every era of Flyers hockey represented in some way, shape, or form. Excuse me. Whether it was guys on the ice or even on the bench. I mean, Coach C was doing a great job of interviewing some of the older guys that weren't skating that were the honorary coaches on the bench. So it was a great night all around. And, again, like you said, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was, again, something that you wish. And I saw a lot of fans the next morning who didn't get to experience it, wish they had, and the Flyers definitely should have at least. The fact that they didn't even record it and then release it later is just amazing to me, because that game should have been on television or a stream.
Well, I felt bad, too.
You know, JJ would have gladly done play-by-play for that.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, it's like, even if you don't get Jim Jackson and the NBC Philly crew, like, you get, I'm sure someone would have done it. Like, even if it was like, hell, let's just put the Jumbotron stream online or something, I don't know, without commentary, I'm sure people still would have enjoyed something. But, yeah, I mean, aside from all the negativity, I mean, congratulations to Holmgren and Tockett on getting into the Flyers Hall of Fame. The alumni game in person was very fun, something that I'll definitely remember for a long, long time. I'm sure we'll see some of the players that are playing now in that alumni game down the road here, which is crazy to think. But, yeah, just a lot of specialness surrounding the past couple of days with the alumni, which is it's a shame to see it kind of given a black eye by the marketing standpoint of it all.
Definitely. And real quick, I mean, before we get into our ad break and then around the league, we do need to touch on a couple things. I don't think we need to go too in depth and detail about these, because we've kind of harped on these points in other podcasts. But overall, the team's 5-on-5 play at times is still concerning.
Yes.
And the power play is an absolute dumpster fire. And I was literally yelling last night about what they should be doing and trying to coach from the stands. And I tried getting a fire Therrien chant started, because I'm convinced this guy has no idea what – I mean, you know, he's supposed to know what he's doing, because the man has literally cupped – he has coached a team to the Stanley Cup final in the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's been an NHL head coach before this assistant role.
Yeah.
So you would think he would know what he's doing, but consequently, every game we are seeing the same power play with the same mistake, and the changes they make aren't really that effective, and you're seeing players on units, cough, Provorov, cough, cough, that shouldn't be on it at all. And yeah, you know, we said this last week on the podcast, but Insanity is repeating the same thing and expecting different results. What is it going to take for them to finally make the proper change? And I'm at the point now where I think it has to be a firing. I am convinced that at this present moment, Michel Therrien thinks he knows what is best for this hockey team, but the results are saying that he doesn't. And the Flyers, you know, while Carter Hart and Martin Jones are playing phenomenal in net, I mean, they both have save percentages above 930. And they both have winning records. And their goals against are in the low twos. eventually a thing of positivity is going to struggle or falter for a little bit. It's just how life works. Not everything is one constant up. There are some downs. And the results, if the goaltending slips and the power play continues to struggle and this offense at 5-5 continues to be this barren, if the goaltending dips at all, we could be in a world of hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's definitely time to find that team balance and to get the power play going, especially, and to have the offense show up more now as opposed to down the stretch here when it could be too late. So hopefully they find that team balance. We'll definitely figure that out by the time our next podcast rolls out, because they could have either A, done pretty well down the stretch here this next week, or B, just gotten their asses handed to them. So we can keep people on the hook for that, and we'll talk about that more next week. But Dave, what say we take our ad break here, and we just have a couple points of interest for around the league tonight, so we can go through that, and then we'll wrap things up for the week.
That sounds like an excellent idea. So with that, we will be right back here at 5-Minute Major Radio. And we are back at 5-Minute Major Radio. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and take us around the league, good sir?
Sounds good as always. So this time around, since we're running a little bit late here, we'll keep it.
Oh, we're only at 46 minutes. You know, we're doing pretty good.
We like to keep it pretty short for the people at home here, because we know that
45 to an hour is acceptable for what I've been told by Jim Jackson.
So, all right.
Good to go.
Humble brag. Quick plug. But I'm only got two things. I think a lot of other stuff has kind of already gone to people's gone across people's desks, so to speak. If they are hockey fans, they pretty much know about it. But I just like to touch on a couple of special things. First being that on Monday night, the 2020 Hockey Hall of Fame class was finally officially inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Love to see it.
The six new members were all at the Hall of Fame with an audience and were able to give their speeches. Just a refresher for everyone here. But this past year's class, 2020, actually, it says 2020, 2021. So I guess there may not be a 2021 Hall of Fame class, but I'm not sure about that. Bad radio, sorry. But the prior class, we'll go with that for now, that was supposed to be inducted last year, is comprised of Doug Wilson, Kim St. Pierre, Kevin Lowe, Jerome Iginla, Marian Hossa, and Ken Holland. Six people who more than deserve to be Hall of Famers. And I won't go into their speeches too much because they are all at least like 10 plus minutes long. So if you want to look at the speeches or watch them, go on NHL.com. They have them there. Or I'm sure they're on YouTube, but great speeches from everyone, and it's definitely way past due that they get their dues and are officially inducted into the Hall of Fame. Dave, your thoughts?
No, just a great class. Again, making me feel old because you've got Marian Hossa and Jerome Iginla,
yeah,
going into the Hall of Fame, and those are two players who I watched in their prime growing up. Of course, we know Marian Hossa won his three cups with the Chicago Blackhawks. And, of course, in the years prior, lost in the Stanley Cup final to the Penguins and then the Red Wings in back-to-back years. And then you had Jerome Iginla, who never got the ultimate prize, but was one of the league's dominant power forwards and a pioneer as a Black NHL player. The man definitely set forth, you know, a lot of paths for the current people of color who we have in the league today. So overall, you know, just a really great class, and they are obviously all deserving. You're hoping that next year when they induct players in the Hall of Fame, maybe a John LeClair gets in finally, because the guy is one of the most all-time leading U.S. goal scorers and had three consecutive 50-goal-plus seasons and won a Stanley Cup, and yet he's not in the Hall of Fame yet. So when's that going to happen? But overall, no complaints here. It was, you know, it's very rarely do you have complaints when it's the Hockey Hall of Fame, unless it's Gary Bettman getting put into it, which I still think was a faux pas.
Yeah, you can't win them all. But going from my one, I guess you can call last night a mile, not last night, Monday night a milestone for those lucky few to be inducted. We head to Anaheim for this is technically two milestones here, but if you didn't see last night, Anaheim Ducks center and longtime captain Ryan Getzlaf scored his 1,000th NHL point.
Is that good?
I think it's pretty decent.
It's not bad.
He now has 280 goals and 720 assists in 17 NHL seasons, all with the Ducks. He became the first Anaheim player and also the seventh active NHL player to reach that milestone, joining Joe Thornton, Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Patrick Kane, and Anze Kopitar. A good amount of company he is in now. But the point came when Getzlaf had the primary assist on a goal from Cam Fowler that gave the Ducks a 1-0 lead. Troy Terry also had a secondary assist, which extended his point streak to 15 games. A great young player Troy Terry is turning out to be so far. And then also, it was the Ducks' eighth straight win, while also being their 1,000th win in their history of the franchise, since they were the Mighty Ducks back in, I believe, 93 was their inaugural season. But also, a couple of Ducks legends were also in attendance to celebrate a retired longtime Anaheim executive, but Paul Kariya and Teemu Selanne, heard of them, were both in attendance, and I'm sure definitely enjoyed seeing Getzlaf do what he did last night. Just over, what was it? I think it was less than or just over a week ago, Getzlaf broke the team scoring record, becoming the highest Anaheim Ducks scorer of all time. And a couple games later, he was presented with a golden puck from Teemu Selanne. So Getzlaf, I mean, I think he'll always be remembered as a Duck if he goes anywhere else in his career. But
I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
A hell of a milestone for him, and we send our congrats.
Yeah, Ryan Getzlaf's a hell of a player. You know, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's won Olympic gold. He's done everything. He is Mr. Anaheim Duck. One might say he is a mighty duck. I'll see myself out after that one. That was bad.
And with that, the podcast is over.
But no, props to Getzy. He's been a player who I've loved to watch. Love watching him in the prime of his career. And you thought he was slowing down based off of especially his year last year. But this year, he's already surpassed his point total from last year in this young season. And the Ducks, really, they are a firing on all cinders. They are just quacking away. I make myself laugh, and everyone, I know I'm getting lots of groans from our listeners when they hear this, and I know, Matt, you're probably like, God, can this be over now?
not quite.
But, no,
all
just...
All value your dad jokes for the week.
Thank you. I can't compete with Hoagie from Pod Street Bullies with dad joke level, but I can match him. But no, just really great, and it's nice to see Anaheim... besides their faux pas that we touched on last week with Bob Murray, they've been doing things right, and they've got an abundance of young talent. They've got one of the best goalies in the world right now, and probably maybe the starting goaltender for Team USA at the Olympics if the NHL still goes in John Gibson. So you just love it for Getzy, and I don't think his record will ever be broken, unless, of course, Trevor Zegras breaks it, which would be awesome, but that would be years from now. So we'll see what happens, but great on Getzlaf there. And, you know, when he retires, you definitely think his number 15 will be retired by the Anaheim Ducks for what he's done for the franchise.
No doubt about that. But, Dave, with that being said, that wraps it up for me from around the league this week. I will say that, before I throw it over to you to wrap things up, the Flyers have a hell of a few tests in front of them these next few games here.
Yep.
But we will be here next week to recap whatever the hell happens. So,
well, next week is Thanksgiving Eve.
Ooh.
So you and I will have to discuss whether or not we do have a podcast next week or if we regroup after the Thanksgiving holiday.
Maybe we might just end up taking a holiday, since we will possibly, depending on what happens with these games, we will want to be in a food coma as to not watch them get steamrolled, if they do get steamrolled, which I don't think, I don't know. We'll see.
But hey, yeah, you know what? Thanksgiving Eve Flyers game. Sports Bar might be a great place to watch that at.
I don't know about that, because Thanksgiving Eve, every bar is packed.
Oh, that's... So, my apartment with multiple brewskis sounds like a great idea.
And, yeah, I'll give two things. Is A, every bar is going to be packed to the gills, because it's going to be, obviously, this COVID world that we're still living in. There's going to be proof of vaccine and all that jazz that they're doing. And B, if you're not driving yourself, which you shouldn't be on the biggest drinking night of the year, don't drink and drive ever, but especially, actually, don't drink it and drive ever.
Ever.
Not, yeah.
We have Uber, Lyft, etc.
But Ubers, Lyfts, and ride shares are going to be off the charts expensive, because...
Oh, peak pricing.
Everyone is going to try and meet getting to the bar, so... I don't blame you, and I'm definitely doing the same thing, where I'm going to watch the game at my apartment, or I do have a Friendsgiving event on Wednesday, so hopefully we put it on there. But
very nice, very nice.
Yeah, you don't even want to go to a bar.
No.
So, but yeah, we will see what happens, and we'll be back either sometime next week maybe, or the week after, and we'll have a doozy of a time recapping it all.
And if for some reason we do decide to take a holiday next week, we will post it on our appropriate socials, obviously.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy to think that Thanksgiving is already next week. Which, I mean, I guess that's also a good thing, because typically they do say that American Thanksgiving is the you know, it's the quarter point of the NHL season. And if your team is in or around a playoff spot at that point in the season, they are probably going to make the playoffs. And we are a week out from Thanksgiving, the Flyers currently are in the first wild card in the Eastern Conference, and they are right in the thick of things in the Metropolitan Division. So hopefully that is a sign of good things to come.
I'm gonna give a big knock on wood for that.
Yes, I too will.
So
I'll follow you up with that more knocking on my dining room table here. But with that, and in closing, everyone, please do check out our affiliates over at Pod Street Bullies. The guys over there are fantastic. Make sure you follow them on their appropriate socials and listen to their podcast on your podcast receptacle. We, of course, always do retweet their stuff from time to time. And as always, also do retweet the link to their latest podcast. So check those dudes out. You will not regret it. If you like our podcast, you will like theirs. I like to think that we are all well-liked and well-minded, or else we wouldn't be affiliates.
I agree.
But with that, everyone have a safe and fantastic weekend. If more Friendsgivings are coming up, enjoy them, but stay safe, of course, as always. And with that, hopefully, the Flyers can get this power play figured out, and the goaltending stays can get strong, and the offensive 5-on-5 wakes up. So with that, everyone, good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.